I'm going to read a little bit out of the notes here so that we can do that. But before I do that, I want to go to Philippians 2 again, and I just want to point out one more thing there, verse 12 and 13 and 14. Remember verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right. So while he's telling you to work it out, he is telling you that he's working in you. Now, we know that Christ is in us. So it's not just God sitting on a throne up there, like reaching down, doing surgery, working in you. He's at work in you. Okay. And that's interesting because a lot of ways that we pray a lot of times is when we need help, we look up. You know, oh, Lord. Well, guess what? He's inside of you. He's the Prince of Peace. If he's not the Prince of Peace on the inside of you, it doesn't much do much good if he's Prince of Peace on the throne in heaven somewhere. You see what I'm saying? I mean, in other words, Jesus came down to bring, as it were, heaven down. You know what I'm saying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Not on earth, but in earth is what it says. In earth, as it is in heaven. And but the amazing thing of that he's working in us is he's working in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Okay? He's not working in us to calm our fears over what we're going through or this or that. I mean, that's not what this is bringing out. This is bringing out the much more side. This is bringing out the Christ side. This is bringing out the reality of before the cross, Peter denied the Lord three times. And you know, the scripture says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? Well, this is different. This is after the cross. This is the work of the cross, which is to put Christ within us and to put us in Christ. And in us, which is the experiential side, is his ability to bring us to a willingness of things that are not, we're not willing in ourselves. All right. That's a good thing. I mean, that's a really good thing. I mean, there have been, you know, and y'all have heard me say this, but I mean, I've prayed this many times. I've said, Lord, you know, the Lord would say something or have me want me to do something, and I would say, Lord, I'm not willing, but I'm willing for you to make me willing. Because if he can do that, then I'm willing. And I'm okay with it. Does that make sense? But, you know, usually for us it's black or white. It's either I'm willing or I'm not willing. And, Lord, I'm not willing, so don't even talk to me anymore. And I don't want to be in your presence. And, you know what it's like. You know, I just need to get away from God in this area. You know, as long as this church teaches this area, I just need to be away from it. Because I'm not willing. Well, that's not right, is it? I mean, if it's in the Word of God, then there's truth and reality to it. Just because we're not there yet doesn't mean that we can't be brought to that place. And really the bottom line is our heart. It is not our ability, but our heart. Lord, you know, I'm not willing. And you're my Father, and Jesus, you're my Lord. You're the husband. I'm part of the bride. Holy Spirit, you're my guide and teacher. So let's talk. Let's be real. You know, I would love to be willing. I would love it, but I'm not. But I believe that you're God. And as God, I believe that you could actually do something in me that could transform my will to want to do of your good pleasure. All right. Well, that's a whole lot better than just going, well, I can't, and you start talking real loud so we don't hear the voice of God. You know? And every time that we back off like that and run from God, we're shutting down something, and we're adding a little more hardness to our heart and a little more ability to say no to the Lord. Whereas the other way at least says, you know, and I tell the Lord, I say, you know, I'm not willing. You know I'm not willing. I don't need to tell you that. You know. But what is precious to the Lord? Is it only found in me saying, yes, I'm willing. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do it right now. Or is it also maybe to be able to say, Father, you're my Father, so I can talk to you. I can do this without condemnation because I need a Father. I need a Lord. I need a guide, a teacher. And you are that to me, and I believe in that. And so I'm asking you to father me. I'm asking you to do that. I don't know. I think he kind of goes, I like this. Yes. You know, I think he just kind of goes, this is good. Where we would think, I'm a failure because I'm not willing. See? And he says, no, you're my son. Let's work on it. All right, so... And what's funny is he doesn't just say that he worketh in us both to will and to do. To will and to do. Now, how many of you like this scripture? How many of you believe the word of God? How many of you really say, man, if that's the word of God, I'm sticking with that. God is able to work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many of you really like that? And you're just all for that. All right. And that's the word of God, right? And you're for the word of God. Okay. Well, the next verse says, he says, to be willing to will and to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings. How many of you like that scripture? How many of you want that and you think of that on a regular basis and you feel bad if you're not in tune with the Lord in that scripture? I mean, I know that you in tune with him and I want him, you know, to make me willing and to have me to do by his spirit. I am all in. But do you ever think about the doing here that he says to make you willing and to do is the next verse. Do, therefore, all things without murmuring. All right. Now, I'm going to... We're family here, so I'm going to confess something to you. I know. I don't always do everything without murmuring or complaining. I know. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road and somebody does something really foolish, I start looking Jewish. What are you doing?
It's probably Negro. Not in this car.
Well, I've told you in the retreat when they asked me, when do you feel closest to God? And I said, when she's driving. But the question isn't, let's back up. The question isn't, are you willing? The question is, are you willing to let God make you willing? Okay, we covered that and everybody liked that. All right, in this situation, The question is not whether you do all things without murmuring, and what is it going to say, without murmuring and disputations or disputing. The question is, are you willing to be in tune with the Lord in life circumstances to allow the Lord, to even be open to the Lord, to even give a thought that I really, that's God's word, and I really want that to come by His work and His life and His nature and spirit in me? Or is it okay to kind of cement over that body, bury it, cement over it, and go, make me willing, you know, for some spiritual task that makes us look good or makes us feel more spiritual, and never give any thought to His good pleasure in the doing of it immediately is do all things without murmuring and disputings. All right. It's my belief that to do that, to really be that way, do all things with it, it's going to take the Lord in us. I mean, I'm just thinking that. I don't know everything, but I'm thinking, you know, because maybe all of us in this room, maybe all of us on Skype, maybe all of us around the world have allowed many things in our lives. We sort of said, you know, and I'm not talking just about this thing, but something rolls our way, and so we just... we just go with our flesh or the devil or whatever. We go with not what is the Lord there. And then every time we bump heads in that situation, we go with that thing. And then after a while, it's not going with something. It's starting to become a habit. And then the habit becomes a lifestyle. This is how we respond in this situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And
what do you mean by that?
You know, clearly it's a lifestyle because she's like this. So what we're talking about is this, is breaking with something that is hard to break with. How do we even go about that? Well, number one, we have to be open to the Lord to work in us, to make us willing and to do all things without murmuring and disputing. You see what I'm saying? I mean, and that doesn't just come by being convicted in a class or a service or something and going, oh, Lord, help me, and then never, ever it come to your mind again, so that every time you murmur or have disputings with someone, the thought of that scripture or God's heart in that scripture never comes up. You understand what I'm saying? It never, because I'm back on my paths again. I'm back in the ruts that I've dug from doing it this way for so much of my life. All right. Well, verse 13. There has to be hope in that somehow. I mean, I'm trying to take this out of the realm of religion. And I'm trying to say that if God is saying that it's Him that works this in us, willingness and doing, then there has to be an approach to something so hard as verse 14 that is real. Do y'all agree with me? Do you understand what I'm even saying? Or have you already turned me off because this is a tough subject? No, I mean, I'm just being honest here. There has to be something that's real of the Lord in that verse, and something powerful. Something so powerful that it could actually stop something like that. Because you can and I can't. There's got to be something real of the Lord. All right. If I don't know what that is, and you don't know what that is, and we talk around it, and we preach stuff that doesn't work, and da-da-da-da, and this place is, you know, blah-blah-blahville, there's still something, according to God, that is real that we can get hold of regardless of past failures or, you know, lack of something in our heart has to meet with God in verse 13 to fulfill verse 14. Something. All right. I know that we always think, okay, well, the pastor, it's his job to get us there, or the teacher, or this, or the apostle, or whatever. I don't know where all we go with it, but what's the old saying in Texas anyway? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What God wants to do in us is literally an explosion that breaks all of the barriers, where we're all dammed up and where we're all held in limitation. He's wanting to have an explosion of not just of teaching or of good truths, but of something that happens outside of these classrooms and these four walls. Something where we're able, and I'm just throwing stuff out here, where we're able to walk with the Holy Spirit in such a manner that these things do come to our mind and we tap into something that's real. Are you following me? All right. Verse 13 makes it sound like that part of it God does. Our part is to work it out in terms of abiding. It's gone, but you know where it was. Abiding and believing. All right, you're in Christ. That may not mean much to you, but it means a heck of a lot to God. And that means that the fountain, you know, David said it like this, all my streams are in thee. Can I use that verse? All my streams are in thee. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I mean, in a real way. Well, those, I mean, we have a spring on the ranch down there. And you can see where the water's running through our creek, but if you just get down to the creek and walk up just a little way, it's actually on somebody else's property, just the next property over. There it is. On the other side of this bubbly thing, up that direction, there's no water. But where that spring is coming up out of the ground, it's bringing water all the way down onto my property. And as I said, I talked to an 80-year-old guy who'd lived almost his whole life next door on the other side. And he said, in all of the heat and all of the problems and all of the droughts we've had, he said, I've never seen this spring run dry. All right. Well, folks, a spring is just an outward manifestation of something deeper. An underground river. Do you know that? Underground river. And David is basically saying this. Whatever you see coming out of me that looks like the Lord or feels like the Lord or tastes like the Lord, all my springs are in him. He's the underground river. He is a source that you can't see. You only see me, and you see some, as it were, drippings of him. But I have tapped in to something that is a river of living water. And he didn't say, my spring is in him. He said, all my springs. So it's like, oh, he's popping out over here now. Oh, in that area. I never thought he could pop out in that area. You know, like another spring coming. Oh, here comes some more. Oh, he goes, none of it's me. All right. If you're helpless and you're hopeless, eventually, you should come to a place that says, if this is going to happen, it's going to have to be God. And then you're going to have to build that bridge of faith to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, all right. It's like we're over here on this precipice. There we are. And then there's this big gap over here. But here is Christ. But there's this big gap in our life. There's this big lack. There's this big thing where we can hear all about what's on the other side, on the cliff on the other side of the gap, and hear all about Jesus and everything, and hear how that, you know, that he, you know, is the fountain of living water and all this kind of stuff. But hearing, going into these little ears on this guy on the other side, it doesn't do anything, does it? I mean, it's just talk until, number one, this person that's on his side admits that everything I'm seeing and hearing of what's over on that other side is not true in me. But I believe it is true of Jesus still. And I believe God's heart, and I believe that he wants me to get to that. If you don't believe that, that's your starting point. I mean, you got, you know, there's probably a whole lot of little pieces on the to build that bridge over, to have enough steps to get across over there by faith. And of course, that bridge is your faith in certain reality. Faith is the substance of things not seen. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things not seen. I don't see it yet, but I believe it. I believe it's already true. In Christ, this is settled. This is mine. It's not going to be mine. It's mine. But then that's where you have to say, the first little step to the bridge has to say, I believe God wants me to have this. He doesn't want to just promise me things that I never get. You know. Yes. You make secure. All right, well, you know, I mean, I'm, believe it or not, I'm praying constantly for you guys. But God has to make a breakthrough in somebody. In somebody. Somebody has to go ahead and start with that first step that they build out there that says, God wants me to have this. Because it can appear, if you only go by circumstances and you only go by feelings, it can appear that God doesn't want you to have it. He wants everybody else to have it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not true. He is no respecter of persons, you know. So, with that first step, If you don't build that first step, he's not going to show you the next one. So we're going, okay, well, that's the first step. You need to give me at least the first five steps before I take any steps. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, I have to see it all and have assurance that I'm going to get there or, you know, whatever. In truth, you're already there. You're in Christ. It's settled. It's finished. But the wow of it all has been gone for a long time. Where you just go, oh my God, I'm in Christ. You know, I mean, folks, when I was in Bible school at the latter part, God began to really teach me that I was in Christ. When I went to Jamaica as a missionary, it was tough, man. We carried a lot, my wife and I. We carried a big load, and the hours were long. We got up at 5 in the morning. We went to bed around midnight, and it was, you know, kids, and, you know, we had an orphanage, and we taught school, and I pastored 4 churches, and on and on and on. It was just constant. But God brought me out of Bible school and into Jamaica, into the bush area of Jamaica, not even a, you know, populated area, just poor people, with this reality that I'm in Christ. And I walked around in that place constantly going, you know, I'm in Christ. However hard this is, you know, I'm in Christ. However much I don't feel like doing what I, you know, doing this right now, I'm in Christ. However much I feel like God must hate me that I graduated from Bible school and he stuck me out in the middle of the jungle somewhere with, you know, nobody would even know, and I was hoping to share Christ with the world. Really, these thoughts came through my head, and why am I stuck here? I almost had more going there than I do here. Except, I'm in Christ. I am in the most treasured thing the Father owns, the Son of His love. I am one with the Jesus that I'm in. I am accepted in the Beloved. Not just by the Beloved. I am accepted in Him. And the wow of it is never going to leave me, because if I let it leave me, it's going to be harder to get the next time. That doesn't mean you can't. It doesn't mean, because it's God who works in you both to will and to do. It's not you. It's not dependent on you. You're supposed to work it out into your reality, meaning I will abide. I will abide in Christ. You know? I am, and abiding in Christ is simply in the situation. Instead, when the devil says, well, you know, you're an idiot and all this kind of stuff, you say, yeah, well, but this idiot's in Christ. Amen. You know what I mean? And to really, and it's all of a sudden, man, it's a shield of faith. The fiery darts don't hit you and then melt you and then break you down and then put you in a position where you're paralyzed and then put you in a position of hopelessness and keep you down. You need a shield of faith to be able to block some of that stuff. You know? But if in Christ is just a teaching, what do we say? I'm in Christ. But we're already defeated. We don't even know the victory of that. We think it's something magical, you know. You know. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, you don't act like it. All right. Well, then, you know, again, what's your hope if you're in that situation? Well, verse 13, for it is God who is at work, worketh, who is at work. This could be translated any number of ways. For it is God who is on the job in you, both to make you will and to do of his good pleasure. Your faith isn't that you can do it. Your faith isn't that you're strong enough or wise enough or good enough or deserving or any of that stuff. Your faith is God at work in me to do this. You stick a little bit of faith out there, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. If you don't do that, he's not going to, you know, nobody, there's nobody that can do that for you. That part, working it out, that faith, that's between you and God. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't stand in proxy for someone's faith in that sense. I mean, you can, but, you know, the reality is that God is wooing us. God cares about us. God wants the sparkle in our eye back when we think of him. He wants the joy of our salvation back. He wants us to be in love with our husband. He wants us to admit that we've been made one. We're bone of his bone. And that he wanted it that way. And he worked, he brought it about, and nobody else did it. And that came out of love, not just God being responsible for his creation who messed up, and so I'll fix it. Did y'all hear how I said that? Because that's the way a lot of people think. Well, God, you know, thank God Jesus saved us, but I mean, he's God and he made us, and then the devil got in, and you know, he needs to fix this thing. Excuse my Texan. But I mean, you know, that kind of mentality. No, he loved us. And he brought us out of love before there was anything worth loving. And if we saw his heart, we would melt. But that's the problem, see? All we can see is our failures. All we look in the experiential, and we never look in the legal, which was brought about by love. It was. Legal meaning stamp it, it's finished, it's done, settled. This is a legal document. You know, faith is the title deed. You do realize that that's the translation of, what does it say in Hebrews 11? Faith is the substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I forget which of the words there it is, but it's the actual word title deed. I'm entitled to this based on Christ. Not I'm entitled because I have a sense of entitlement. Not that. But you can't go the opposite direction and say, I'm not worthy of anything, and so I'll just sit in the muck and the mire, you know, and I'll learn to be content. You know, and that we say, be content in whatever place you find yourself. Oh, I'm just in the miry clay, so I'll be content here. Well, I got news for you. You're in Christ. And that's the place that he found, that's he established you in, and you need to find yourself there. All right, well, again, nobody can nobody can light the fire of the steps. And he doesn't say there's 10 steps and you'll make it. He says there's one, and if you step on that, you remember Israel when they got ready to go into the promised land. What does being in the promised land represent? Being in Christ, right? Yes, it does. The priest took up the ark and they said, everybody, you know, they got, you know, a million people with them. Everybody, put your eyes on the ark. That's Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody, get your eyes on the Jesus that is with us and just look at Jesus. And the priest went first. And they got ready to enter into the promised land, folks, at the Jordan. And the Jordan was flooding. It was a really bad time. There'd been a lot of rain and flood. It wasn't just a river. Oh my God, how are we going to get across? It's like, it's flooding and going fast. And it, you know what I mean? It's like, why does God expect me to do the impossible? And the answer is he doesn't expect you to do the impossible. He expects you to get your eyes on him and just go with him and the impossible happens. All right. So here they go. And the Lord says, okay, he tells Joshua this. He says, I'm going to roll back the waters, but not until I want the priest to walk out there into it. So it says, as soon as their feet hit the water, folks, this is a flood. This is, they're overflowing its banks, it says. And you're looking and going, why do we have to go first? You know what I mean? Because you bear the Lord in this manner for these people. And so you've got to speak the word, and it's got to be from my heart, and it's got to be the truth. And if it's true in you, then I'll take care of the rest. It says, as soon as their foot hit the water, the Jordan opened up. You know, we want to sit on the bank and go, okay, Lord, open it up. Come on, Lord, do it. And he's saying, no, I want you. I want your heart. I want you. I want you with me. I want us to do this together. I want you to find me in a fresh way. I want you to believe in me. I want this word to be more than, you know, ink on white paper. I want us to have an eternal relationship now, not someday. Not someday. I want it now. This is the Lord's heart. And so, you know, if you were sitting on the bank going, well, do it and I'll be with you, somebody realizes, you know, look, he said he's given us the land. Do you think he's going to drown us? This sounds like David, doesn't it, before Goliath? You think he's going to drown us right here before we get in it? We brought us out. He did all that stuff in Egypt and he took us through all this wilderness and everything and went through every kind of thing. And here we are. And now, well, you know, I'll just drown you right here at the Jordan. He's not going to do it. So he says to the other three priests, let's get up and let's pick this ark and let's go. And they go, yeah. Let's do it. That's right. This is crazy. We have been through all kind of stuff. This is nothing for the Lord. And in fact, this, fighting those guys out there in the wilderness, that was more nonsense than this. Not that anything was not. But this is the eternal path that we should take. This is part of the entering in. So they get up and they go, okay, let's go. But they turn to everybody and say, now I want every one of you to put your eyes on the ark, not us. Because we're going in. We are going in. We're going in. And they knew it. And the proof of that is their feet even having to hit the water. Because if you're waiting for something, you're not going to put your foot in that flooding thing. If you believe in something, you're just like David. You'll walk out to the biggest, ugliest, meanest thing, and you'll say, you know what? You're trespassing. This is God's property here, and I'm just standing up for what God said. It's not about me. It's about what God said and what's been true for all of the heroes of faith that came before me. And I'm just doing the same thing they did. This is God's property and you're going down. That's all there is to it. It has to do with God, not me. I'm just saying what he says. Okay. So their feet had to believe they were going in. And God had to see their feet hit the water to know they believed it. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? you know, it's like Abraham raising the knife. You know, If Abraham said, okay, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to do it. He got his hands in his pocket, you know. All right, I'm just about ready to do it. You know, you know, almost there. It's coming. On three, one, two, two and a half. You know, I'm going to do it, Lord. When he pulled that knife up and went like that, God said, that's good enough. That's like the feet hitting the water. That's when God knows that you're living above the plane of this earth and you're with him. It says, I'm with you. It doesn't just say, I'm a man of faith or I'm anointed. It says, I am with you in your reality, and I'm leaving this earth and I'm going with you. That's what it says. You think God blesses that? You better believe it. You better believe it. Amen. Well, we better close up. Father, we just love you. We need you. We have you. All of that. And we just embrace your heart to try to reach us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, and we pray for each and every member of this church and those on Skype and those who would listen to this later or watch it later. Lord, you're trying to do something. And we don't even want to think that there would be some who wouldn't grasp, who wouldn't want or enter in, Father. So we're asking you, Lord, do everything you can for each and every one of us to find this as real and reality and our reality. And like David, it just becomes the way we think. We don't have to put it on in the circumstance. It's already there. Father, help us to be more guided and taught by the Holy Spirit, who will faithfully give us the pure water of life. And not just parts and parcels of it. Father, help us to open our hearts more to you in an eternal way and not be so religious, but just really want you more than anything else, and you'll take care of all the other things. Father, we thank you for your presence here, and we thank you that we may, if we so choose, walk out of this place in that same spirit and air and carry it beyond this place. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We're dismissed.